This is the Randomer Nintendo Podcast, episode 37 for, what's tomorrow? April 9th, 2024. Happy Eclipse Day, everybody. I hope that you didn't look into that eclipse, if you could. You might be blind now, but you're not deaf, and for that, thank you for still listening to this, if you did get blinded by the eclipse.
How did you navigate here? Who knows, but thank you for getting here.
Yeah, I mean, with technology,
and
Siri.
Yeah, you could just ask Siri. Yeah,
Siri or Alexa or what is Google called? Google Assistant. Yeah. Whatever tickles your pickle.
Or Bixby, Samsung's Bixby.
Is Bixby still a thing?
Not only is it still a thing, they recently went on record that's going to be even more of a thing because they're going to augment it with AI. So,
Okay. Yeah. Well, how you lads doing?
Good. I didn't stare into the sun, so can't complain.
Did you actually like look at the eclipse?
Kind of. I went outside. I didn't really look up because I didn't get glasses for the eclipse, especially because it's only a partial one here in LA. It was like 48% coverage, so it's less than what we had here, I think, the last time that we did this whole song and dance in 2017. But I looked down and I saw the crescents in the shadows of like tree leaves and stuff. So if that counts, then yes, I did look.
What about you, Angel?
I did not spare it any thought because I didn't know it was a thing until...
How did you avoid it? I feel like no one in the world, like no media, nothing was not talking about it. No, I mean like people, I mean like there were signs at stores. There were like for the glasses. Like how did you avoid it?
I mean...
Yeah, because they were selling the glasses.
Like a CVS?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I don't know. About
I
haven't
really
gone
to many stores in the last couple of days, and the only one that did, I don't think Container Store had anything, and neither did the Lego store.
That's fair. That's fair. Technically, yeah, actually, I should know better because I was with you 2 days ago.
Yeah, given, I guess, the specific things that I look into and people that I talk to, it just never really came up until the day of. I think I only realized, like, oh, that's coming up. Was this because a friend's Instagram story mentioned that they were going to Texas for it? But then I immediately forgot until my brother sent me after the fact a Sonic the Hedgehog Instagram post where Shadow was causing the eclipse, or at least a silhouette of Shadow's head. And that's, I guess, the extent of it.
To be fair to you, you weren't the only one that didn't know. I saw, so Coldplay has an album coming out later this year called Moon Music. This is their second celestially themed album. And they have a fifth member of their band who's kind of their manager named Phil. And someone from the Coldplay account, someone's like, so what are you doing for the eclipse? And then he's like, wait, why didn't anyone tell us there was an eclipse? Because like, obviously that's perfect marketing, but somehow he missed it too. The guy in charge of marketing a moon themed album didn't pick up on the eclipse happening. So you're not actually alone. So
I will join in as in, yeah, I didn't know that there was an eclipse happening until today.
Yeah, well. I will say I'm definitely more plugged in on social media in terms of like constantly looking at things, and so I'm not surprised I knew and you guys didn't if I were to step back from my bubble of being super plugged in all the time.
I did watch it online. I did watch the NASA stream, so that was pretty cool.
If you want to see it in person at Totality or whatever, 2045, it'll be coming to NorCal. In August 2045, so you have 21 years and 4 months to prepare.
Hopefully I'm dead.
Here's
by
your advance notice you guys need. There you go.
I mean, not to take away anything from the eclipse, but I guess because I do admit the pictures look cool, but I guess because I never really looked into it much or only recently started to care about seeing stuff like that, they felt like they were a dime a dozen. Like, it doesn't really feel to me like it was that long since the last eclipse, but it feels like, oh, we're at an eclipse already. At least that's my mental spatial time passing as far as eclipses go.
The totality ones, where, like, it actually gets dark enough outside that, like, outdoor lights that will automatically turn on and stuff, those are the rare ones for that to line up with wherever you are. And we have not, I don't believe, had one of those. But it gets dark. Like, if you're in the right spot. That's why so many people are going to Texas specifically, because that's where a good spot was. Although it was cloudy, so I don't know how many people actually saw anything. But, yeah. Yeah, because you're right. The partial ones and things like that I feel like aren't super rare. We've had a few that I can recall. But when it gets like 90% coverage or above, that's pretty cool from what I've heard. I've never seen it myself, but yeah.
Yeah, there were some photos like coming out from Mexico where it was just complete blackout. Even in places like Austin.
Yeah.
You just went pitch black in the middle of the day. It was really wild.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's dark enough that like throws off animals for a few hours. Yeah. Because they think it actually suddenly became night out of nowhere. That's how dark it gets. So, yeah, that would be cool to see one day. But, yes, what L.A. had was kind of just like, we went from, like, peak brightness to, like, just shy of golden hour back to peak brightness. So, okay. Like, it wasn't that noticeable unless you're really looking close.
How long does it last?
The tinge. The totality was about 4 minutes, which I believe is also the length of Total Eclipse of My Heart, which is a weird coincidence. The song, I don't think that was intentional because each totality varies. But, yeah, totality is about four minutes, but the whole shebang was, like, hour and a half or something.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I learned something today.
Nice. Yeah, we all learned something.
Is there anything else these past 2 weeks?
Just stared at the sun.
I think it's been a not super eventful. I mean, I guess there's like two things I could briefly mention. So my brother and I will occasionally just gift each other like pretty big gifts that would be comparable to something you give like on a birthday or Christmas or something, just like randomly, just like out of nowhere. And my brother, he gave me, I guess, something that he entered a Kickstarter for, he says like years ago, which makes sense based on what it was, but it's basically an omnibus of the entire MonsterVerse Godzilla comic book run, which I knew there was a comic for it, but I guess I didn't really pay it much mind. And, yeah, so it's really cool that I guess I now have the entirety of the MonsterVerse Godzilla comic that I could look into. And I just kind of, like, skimmed through it, or we both did. And, yeah, there were some monsters in there that, like, there was pretty much, like, I mean, we'll kind of get to it later, but there was, like, a fight that was teased in the movie that was like, oh, they're going to fight. And then it just cuts to, like, the ending of it. And this is basically, like, 5-6 pages of, like, that whole fight. Which is kind of crazy, because that's like either... I haven't read the context of it. I don't know if it's that exact same fight, but the setup looks like
similar,
almost identical. So, yeah, interesting. But, yeah, so that's pretty cool. It also came with like a collection of pins. It came with like some, like a nice print of Godzilla fighting Kong. And it's basically dressed up to be like Monarch Confidential Files in the form of like a comic book. Yeah, that's something that I wondered too, because like it looks like it fills in blanks between the movies. Like there's a bunch of other monsters Godzilla fights in there, and some that you see in the movies,
mm-hmm.
but don't get a lot of screen time. And it looks like they're fleshed out here. But yeah, so I'd be curious as well. And you know, there's also a lot of Kong and the Hollow Earth in these comics, so I guess I'll know what he was up to. But yeah, so that was that. The only other thing, we're getting close to finally beating Tales of Xillia, which I'll definitely talk about once we do beat it. But oh my god, that game, I think I must have purchased it maybe a decade ago, because it's a PS3 game. But we started and stopped it a couple times. It's one of those RPGs where the Tales series, or a lot of RPG series, that are like, it's one of those where if you go like a year or two without playing it, you're better off just starting over, which we had to do twice. But this time we finally made it to the final boss. But this game has the quirk of having two campaigns. You play, either pick, you know, this character named Mila or this other character named Jude. And we pick Mila, and we're like, and for the most part, you're able to follow the story pretty easily. They rarely split up. And even when they do and they come back, you're like, oh, okay, I think I have a pretty good idea of what the other character was up to. Up until the final area where we're at right now, which we feel is the final boss, like everything is going all smoothly. This character appears and we're like, oh, it's the architect or something. And then it's like, oh, cool, I guess he's a good guy. And then you just kind of, and then he leaves, and then you regroup with the other, with your other party, because you were split up at that point. But when you regroup with them, you're literally in the middle of like, well, it feels like the final battle. You're like in this waterscape with giant clocks all over, like some, I don't know, high fantasy painting, and you're fighting that same character that I guess, just finished helping you. So we were just really confused because there was no context. Just, yeah, now you're just in this crazy dramatic fight. So we don't want to play the other campaign. So we're just going to have to, you know, YouTube it at this point and just get the what we were missing. Because, like, what the heck? Like, it just, that was confusing. But, yeah, that's been me.
I guess one thing I did is I did go to a game of one of your favorite teams, Kevin. I saw the LA Kings the other week.
That's my favorite team. I was going to go to that game, the Kraken game.
You were? Were we at the same game? That's really funny. We could have been at the same game. Yeah. I don't know if you know, this is the first time anyone that knows hockey is going to be like, okay, Jason, that's a thing that happens. I didn't know when you do a hat trick, which is the same player plays, you know, scores three times. Everyone literally throws their hats onto the ice. A bunch of people just give up their baseball caps or whatever they're wearing and you never get them back. And that's it. Nope. There are like dozens of hats, and there's a guy behind me that like begrudgingly, he like walked over to where we were sitting, threw his hat, and then I could hear him as he was walking back saying something, man, I really didn't want to give up my hat today. It's like, you're not obligated.
Yeah, you're not obligated to do it. It's just, it's more just like
really
a
sad
cool
about giving up his hat. It was funny. But yeah, it was the first time I ever saw a hat trick in person. I would go to like one hockey game a year, but it's a thing. My dad and I do one Dodger game, one Kings game, or one, I should reframe that. We do one baseball and one hockey, depending on where we are. But,
did you participate in said hat trick?
I wasn't wearing a hat, so I did not.
You said, or whatever you're wearing.
Could have on your head. On your head. Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yes. I didn't rip off my shirt and go, like, yeah, Kings, and like throw it at. No, I didn't do that. But yeah, that's one thing I learned from the hockey game. The second thing I learned is they're now allowing you to schedule seat side visits from their mascot, Bailey the Lion. So there's like I imagine more teams are going to start doing this, if not already, but you can like go to a website. You scan QR code, go to a website, you pay, of course, a small fee, and then like the mascot will like come and sit with you for a few minutes at the game. You can like, take pictures or like post for the Jumbotron, whatever, but like he's like there, just like your buddy. And something about that really is delightful.
I know
I didn't
some
do it.
Things.
I just know it.
I know some things about the person who plays Bailey the Mat, the Bailey the Lion. I'll take it off the pod because.
Oh,
not that anybody listens to this podcast that are in high places, I'm sure, but that guy was a character for sure.
It I feel like there's like an illusion that's always shattered with stuff like that. I remember Rachel was telling me that when she used to work at Disneyland, she was in the custodian team, and spoiler alert for Disneyland, she was in the back, and there was one Mickey not wearing his head, and then there's another Mickey putting his head on to go out. And that's when she realized, one, that she really doesn't like seeing Mickey without his head because it shatters the illusion. And two, there are multiple of every costume, contrary to what you think. It's not like, oh, Mickey's coming out. It's like one of a rotation of Mickey's is coming out. And that blew her mind, as one could imagine, because you never think about that until it's in front of you. So.
I think.
Yeah. Spoiler alert for Disneyland. Sorry to ruin kids. I feel like I just said Santa Claus isn't real to people who may think Santa Claus is real. Not YouTube, but maybe a listener out there. So I apologize to the Mickey enthusiasts and the Santa Claus enthusiasts who I just accidentally said Santa Claus wasn't real. What else can I spoil? What else can I ruin?
Well, speaking of Disneyland, actually, I didn't realize that Tokyo Disneyland Resort was having like a Donald month. It's like, I guess the equivalent
year of
the
Luigi, but Donald and for a month?
Yeah, like the whole, well, I don't know if it's for a month, but they were just showing how like they, you know, trim the trees to look like Donald, and there's just like Donald signs everywhere. There's even like a photo op spot that has like a bunch of arrows pointing to like an empty spot where it says Donald's biggest fan, and I'm like, wow. And yeah.
Kind of and you're going to go there and stand in that spot?
Well, I doubt it'll still be up when I go, but I mean, if it is, then yes.
How are you not on the next plane to go do that? I don't understand.
Yeah, I have to wait till October. But yeah.
You know, we were saying we didn't do a whole lot, but actually, us three did more together, I think, since our last episode. We've done it a long time.
Wait, I don't want to talk about this so soon, but. So, we hung out last Friday?
Yeah, we could go Friday, right? Yeah. Yep.
And, well, let's start. We've already talked about the monsters.
Right, the burn lasagna.
Let's, the burnt lasagna. Yeah. Well, we'll get to that part. But we started last Friday out by watching a little indie movie called, what was it called again? Godzilla Kong, The New Empire. Don't spoil it. Hold on, I'm going to edit that in the podcast so that you don't know what we're talking about. I guess if you read it, never mind. Doesn't matter. We saw Godzilla Kong.
Or, throwback to our old episodes, Godzilla Intercourse Kong.
Godzilla Intercourse Kong, correct.
Yes. Yes. And we saw it staggered. So Kevin and I saw it that Friday. Then Angel joined us. Then he separately saw it 2 days later. But we've all seen it, is the point, I think. Right?
It's true.
It's true. Sorry, Kevin.
It's
true.
No, it's fine. Yeah, Godzilla vs. Kong, the fourth movie in the MonsterVerse.
Depends on how you count them, because there's also Skull Island. There's also the first Kong.
Oh, the fifth movie in the fifth Kong, the fifth movie in the MonsterVerse.
Sixth. 2014, War of the Monsters, Skull Island, King, whatever the Kong one was, the other Kong one. Wasn't there two Kong ones?
No, there was one.
No, there's one Kong one.
Okay, fourth.
I don't know what this War of the Monsters is.
I know what War of the Monsters is. I know King of the Monsters.
I think I just made up a movie. I think I took War of the Worlds with Lil, what's her name, screaming, is it them, and just shoved it into a MonsterVerse movie. Yeah.
War of the Monsters, a really good PS2 game.
Yes, actually.
There's also a Godzilla movie called Final Wars, but I doubt that.
Now, to be fair, if you didn't know Godzilla that closely, and I was like, yeah, there was War of the Monsters, who would have batted an eye at that not being the title of an eventual Godzilla
MonsterVerse movie? I'm
pretty
sure anybody would have been like, that does not sound like a Godzilla movie.
I bet you if I went and like asked someone on the street, did you see Godzilla War of the Monsters? They will be like, I've never seen a Godzilla movie. I'd be like, oh, that's the one where they fight, right? Yeah, I've seen it. And no one would go, well, I saw King of the Monsters. Like, it would be more likely that someone would say yes than someone would correct me, is my guess. Because these names all blur together.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Godzilla, Intercourse Kong, The New Empire. Jason, what did you think of it?
It was very over the top, but I thought it was very over top. It was very confidently over the top. It succeeded in being over the top. If that makes sense. It's the Fast and Furious of monster movies. It just embraces the absurdity and runs with it, quite literally in one shot where they're running side by side. I enjoyed it for the wild wackiness. It's a cartoon come to life at this point, basically. Very far from the 2014 Godzilla, which felt very grounded and real and based in science and or like fake science. And this one's just like whatever they could think of, they'll make it into the movie somehow.
Yeah. Angel, what about you?
I enjoyed it. It was very fun. I mean, I love that it was basically answering, like, you know, give me more kaiju action, less people drama. And there was still some people drama, but it was so minuscule by comparison, especially compared to the other movies, that you almost don't mind it. Like, it's just kind of there. If anything, like, how they still try to explain some things and because of how ridiculous things are, it's almost like, yeah, don't even try. And then other times they don't even explain things. Like, the two things that come to mind is when they were trying to, not a whole lot, but, you know, one of the characters is trying to explain how, like, the electromagnetism worked because there's something that happens with electromagnetism. And
yeah, are we talking spoilers here, or are we keeping it not spoiler?
Didn't it, like, open up number one?
Yeah. It's been like 2 weeks.
I say spoilers, That's fine.
Spoiler alert, boys and girls.
All right. Well, I mean, not to say any more than I already did, because it doesn't need to. But yeah, there were a character was just trying to explain how this gravity machine worked. Like, in enough detail that was like, it still doesn't make any sense, so that almost felt pointless. But then earlier, you know, in the trailer, you see Kong wearing, like, a power glove, basically. And, you know, his hand was injured, but then they just go like, you know, they just put the glove on him. But you're like, well, his hand is still frostbitten. And, like, you know, they kept saying, like, oh, man, it looks really, really bad. But they just inject him with some green stuff. They're like, oh, yeah, that's going to just heal him right up. Like, that's just it. That seems like something they would have at least tried to explain why he's going to, like, you know, do some tissue repair. But it just, his hand wavy, it just does it. Which, you know, which is just the right amount of, you know, we don't care Like, I don't care how it gets prepared, just that it works. But the one thing that the movie did prove to me was that, like, at least in, you know, this version of the MonsterVerse, like, we really don't need the people that much. Like, you know, you basically had two parts of the movie. You're following Kong. It's almost like a silent film or just like a silent action film. There's like no people.
A grunty movie. Yes.
Yeah. Like it's basically just an animated film, but you know, it was funny. I mean, it was kind of, if anything, hilarious with some of the combat that happens there. And then you have Godzilla where none of the things that you can't do anything without it having some kind of, you know, expositional setup, like, oh, we are trailing Godzilla. He is heading east this way. All right, let's follow. Oh, where is he going? So it's almost like I wish we just kind of had, you know, us following Godzilla without any of the other stuff. It just kind of felt like, I don't know, fluff at that point.
I mean, Godzilla's only in the movie for like 4 minutes. Like, it's a Kong movie.
So oh, yeah, this is a Kong movie. I think that's
they had to give exposition for Godzilla because it's a Kong movie. So Godzilla's actions are just kind of background to get to where he needs to go for Kong.
We could have figured
it
out.
It's almost like they're telling us why, just so they don't have to like explain it with more time focused on Godzilla. You know?
I felt none of it needed explaining, though. Like, it was just, he's going towards ice. Oh, he's going towards, like, the domain of this monster. I mean, like, if anything, there was more to, like, wonder with, like, the Kong stuff with, you know, when he meets the new villain. And, like, what the heck were those monkeys even working on? I mean, they don't really show what they're building.
They're just building stuff, building, man. Anything. I don't know.
They're just building rocks. Just for the heck of it. Yeah, that's pretty funny. But fun movie. Turn off your brain. It was just fun. Nothing I felt had like the weight of the Godzilla versus Kong fight from the last one. As far as like, I don't know, a fight that actually had me like really hooked. They were just fun.
But, yeah, I would say I think the fights in, I mean, literally this one, the climax was like, well, we had a lot of one-on-one fights in Godzilla versus Kong, so what if we make it a four-player mode for the final fight? And it's like, okay, cool, sure. But I feel like the final fight only lasted
all of 3 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like the last one, like to Angel's point, the fights had a little more, quite literally more weight because of the anti-gravity stuff in this one, but also just like there's more visual pizzazz. Like this one, they're like, oh, we're in Rio de Janeiro. And then like 2 seconds later, they're just in a desolate wasteland. But when they fought last movie in, what was it, Hong Kong? And they had all the neon and stuff and it looked like a really cool like level that should be in like Godzilla Destroy All Monsters Melee back on the GameCube or something. Like that had way more like visual pizzazz and. Yeah, that was missing a little with the honor fight opposed to the in Hollow Earth fights, which had their own, I guess, gimmicks this
we
time
did
around.
We did get Godzilla suplexing Kong.
Yes.
Which was amazing.
And pocket sand.
And pocket sand.
Yeah. And pocket sand. Yeah, yeah. And we also got some weird thing where like Godzilla and Kong were like calling to each other and made it look like they were like beefing from like across the city, but they're actually like 2,000 miles away or something. Like
that,
when Kong pops
shot,
up in Cairo.
In Cairo, yeah. Just and where was
some other peninsula, like other side of that giant peninsula. Like they were not near each other, and even with their loud roars, I don't think they would hear each other from that far.
Yeah, the editing on that was like super weird.
Yeah, yeah. And what's weird is they didn't have to edit that way. They literally felt the need to put the two cities in the text in the corner. They could just, like, not, and it would have been fine. But it just created a weird plot hole when they did. Or not even plot hole, just a weird, moment. But.
I enjoyed the movie. I wouldn't call it cinema by any chance. It's probably my least favorite of the MonsterVerse movies. This series for me has been going downhill since, what's that one? For me, it's been going downhill since Godzilla vs. Kong. Like, I really like War of the Monsters. See, now you got me to say.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Also, War of the Monsters, I believe, is an indie game from 13AM Games who made Runbow. I think it's on the Switch, so I'm not making this up out of nowhere.
War of the Monsters
was a kaiju-inspired.
Yes, War of the Monsters was released on the PS2, GameCube, and Xbox back in the day.
Oh, so this is the second one then. Okay, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I very much liked the grounded approach to Godzilla 2014. Yeah. I love that movie. That movie, I think, is fantastic. And then, you know, King of the Monsters was a little bit more out there, but that movie is still, like, a whole lot of fun. But, like, that being said, yeah, it's just over-the-top goodness. And that's all I'll say about that. Like, we never talked about Monarch on the show, did we?
We talked about the beginning, but never the end.
Yeah, we never talked about the end.
So we talked about how it paralleled. I guess we can now talk about how it parallels exactly what you're saying about Godzilla 2014 till now, where it starts grounded and does not stay that way.
Yep, not at all.
Yeah. And it's funny because Monarch's the show, them doing that sort of rug pull, jump the shark, whatever you want to call it, when they go from like grounded, we're going to pretend it's based in real science, we're going to talk about like post-traumatic stress disorder from the Godzilla 2014.
Yeah, they go from 2014 realism to this movie realism, to New Empire realism.
Within the span of an episode. Seriously. But for some reason, with the movies, it was hard for me to swallow the pill of, oh, they just have like flying hover spaceship things that go into the middle of the earth. Okay. Like that was hard for me doing the movies, but when they did in the show, maybe because I was already used to it from the movie, that pivot, I liked Monarchs enough as a show that the pivot almost like, it like fixed the problem I had with it, which I know is kind of the opposite of what happened with you, but I was like okay with the pivot in the show, and that got me more okay with how absurd the movies have become. And I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just because I was already sort of expecting it or knew it was kind of, I don't know, but like I was fine with the pivot in the show, even though the movies took me a while to get to that point mentally. So
yeah, it took me a little bit to get used to the pivot, especially with the ending. But we'll see if that show ever gets season two. I don't think they've officially announced anything.
They haven't, but it got a lot more buzz than I think they were expecting. Like that was performing super well.
Yeah, and then TV,
so I imagine it will. And they have a stinger that would set up season two really well. So
Oh yeah. And then, like with this, I'm sure they're going to make other movies in this MonsterVerse. I just hope that we just get a Godzilla movie. Like, I just want a Godzilla movie. Godzilla's the homie. Like I've said it before, I'll say it again. I love it when Godzilla's the homie. And in this movie, he's the homie after being told by his wife that he needs to chill down.
Also, real quick, he's Oscar winner Godzilla, Academy Award winner Godzilla, cross Academy Award winner Kong.
Kong won an Academy Award?
I believe one of the past Kongs won for something. Yeah. Maybe
something. Peter like Jackson? That. Peter Jackson's Kong?
It might have been. But they could have totally, someone tweeted this and I thought it was really funny, but they could have totally promoted this as Academy Award winner Kong. And Academy Award winner Godzilla team up in a new, like, it would have worked, but yeah.
Could have worked, yeah.
Yeah. But yes, I get what you mean, that he was kind of second place in this movie. Although,
yeah, like said, he only was there for 5
for
minutes.
Purpose. Yeah, but him using the Colosseum in Italy as his, like, bed was pretty great.
Oh, yeah, that was really cute. That was fantastic. Yeah. I just want to see more Godzilla, this monster versus Godzilla. I hope we do. And unless anybody else has something.
I have one thought. Angel made a good point way earlier that I wanted to touch on. He said it, the Kong's glove, and he called it the power glove. It's actually called the beast glove in this movie. And that raises an interesting point. There were a lot of opportunities for them to do a lot of stuff that Nintendo took right out of their hands. Can't say power glove because it's copyrighted. What do you call the tiny Kong in this movie? This is something someone we follow on Twitter pointed out, but Angel and I follow. But can't call him Tiny Kong. Can't call him Kitty Kong. Can't call him Baby Kong. So they just didn't name him because Nintendo took all the names for little Kong people. So blame Nintendo if you don't like any of the names of anything in this movie because they basically copyrighted all of it out from under. Universal.
I really, it does have a name. It does have a name. They just never said it in the movie.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I figured it just like, didn't because they never gave it a name. Yeah, but you can't do any of the small Kong names because they're all – you can't do – well, he's not Lanky, but you can't do Lanky either. So,
But, that's Godzilla Intercourse Kong, the new empire. After that, we had a good dinner, I would say.
Angel disagrees.
it was okay, I guess.
We had a nice bonding experience over food.
Yeah, and how that food was okay.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad, but Angel, would you like to tell your tale of woe? Because I know you've been chomping at the bit to talk about your burnt lasagna.
Yeah, I mean, it was... The ambiance was fine. You know, we got to sit at a booth. The wine
was
fine.
It wasn't even a booth. It was a countertop. We weren't even facing each other.
And we were promised seats with backs.
A bar. We were sitting at a bar, I guess.
Yeah, we were told we were going to get bar stool. We were told we were going to see a view of them making pizza, which was accurate, except they weren't actually making pizza. But they were positioned to witness pizza if pizza was made. So I can't really fault them for that. For clarity, we were at Eataly in L.A. There's a few of these around the world. They're very well-known, very popular. We chose the restaurant that had the least creative name of La Pasta and La Pizza, which should have been a warning sign.
Burnt my lasagna, and as a result, the exterior tasted not so well. And the interior, I mean, I guess it was just fine. And I guess, like, the how big the lasagna was as well, like, typically I would expect to never leave hungry from an Italian restaurant, but I mean, I guess that was just wrong, at least with this one.
Me too.
And yeah, so I was still hungry and I was disappointed, but I don't regret trying it because I was curious. I was craving lasagna, which obviously didn't help it, because you know, if the one thing you're craving ends up not being satisfactory, you're probably gonna dislike it even more. So Eataly, I was pretty much ready to just be like, you know what, I don't think I ever need to go back to Eataly. It's you not do. That great of a place. But then
you do.
Jason was like, well, there's a place called Terra up there that is actually
okay,
good.
First of all, I wasn't whining about it. I was like, Angel, you gotta go to Terra. No, I was like, there is a really good place. And I want to give Eataly its credit. The other two restaurants in Eataly, so there's a seafood one, I forgot what it's called, but there's also Terra, which is, of course, the most expensive. But wood fire, everything's cooked on a wood fire grill. It's all really good. It's like a steakhouse. It's of sorts. That upholds Eataly's reputation, as does, if you go to the supermarket section, they have squid ink bread, which is actually quite good. So,
The best part of that whole place was Angel asking for a hot sauce for his lasagna.
And them saying no.
Yeah, I mean, that would have saved it. If any tapatio, any Tabasco, any sriracha, anything.
I bet you if you went to Eataly, though, and you said that, you'd get the same reaction. Like, that's how authentic, quote-unquote, Eataly is that, like, the Italians take a lot of pride in exactly how their food is their food. They have a whole movement called slow food, which is all about not letting other food cultures' foods encroach on theirs. No fast food. It has to be slow food. You have to sit. You have to,
I mean, that's fair. They can do what they want, but if their food, at least the way this restaurant in particular represented, is supposed to represent how Italian food is because it's so good on its own, then that doesn't give me a lot of hope.
I will say, if you're expecting pizza one way when you go to Eataly, it's definitely not the way you're expecting it. They do it differently there. Like the actual country.
Isn't there like just, if you just order a pizza, they just bring you out a margarita pizza? That's like their standard, isn't it?
Yeah, that's their standard.
Yeah. Which I can,
and I will say, when I was there, it was very good pizza, but it's definitely not like a Domino's or a Pizza Hut or anything like that. Like, it's so American.
So you're saying it's not going to be stuffed crust?
It definitely won't be stuffed crust meat lovers. Like, let's throw a cheeseburger on top of your pizza and then add some bacon. It won't be that. No.
Oh, speaking of pizza, I recently got a Costco membership. So now I can try their pizza.
You've never had their pizza?
I've never had their pizza there. I've had their pizza, like the one that you can buy and you just put in the oven, but I've never had their like fresh pizza.
Dude, their pizza's so good. I'm sad to report their churros are now gone. Those used to be really good, and they were only $1. But the pizza's also very good. You'll be very happy, I think. I don't want to overhype it, but it's one of the best.
The thing is that I have to go all the way to Norwalk or Lakewood, and that's kind of a drive.
Hmm.
But yeah, so that was Eataly. And just when we thought that we couldn't be more disappointed.
Well, no, I don't know if I was disappointed with the next thing. It was kind of where I thought it would be.
Okay, as Angel put it out there, we saw Madam Web.
We did.
This is an abomination of a movie.
We also, I just want to be clear, we paid 20 United States dollar currency. Like, we paid 20 actual dollars to rent this thing for 24 hours.
We? I was not ready.
I paid $20.
To be fair, I did ask you if you wanted me to like give you like $10.
No. It was my treat because what?
Oh, what a treat!
Could be what could be dessert on top of his burnt lasagna better than what we did to detour for ice cream? But what could be the real dessert better than Madame Web?
This movie is horrible.
Yeah. It was entertaining.
It was the beginning and the beginning was entertaining, and then once you kind of settle into the vibe and the tone, it kind of loses some steam.
What tone?
The bad vibe and the bad tone. Like, it was so bad at the beginning, and then we acclimated to it. I feel like, because the middle we were kind of like, oh, it's just kind of boring now. Like the middle
of Madame Web is like boring, except for that one shot of full spoiler for Madame Web.
It doesn't deserve any special treatment.
Of Madame Web. Villain doing like that weird flip onto the dining room table.
Where they filmed it backwards or played it backwards or whatever.
I have no idea how they filmed that. But if you think about the logistics of that scene, right? He walks into the diner, they see mm-hmm. him, and mm-hmm. then he jumps onto the table backwards. So that means that at some point he must have turned around and then done the flip. Onto the table.
Also, what's worth, we rewound that specific thing to make sure we understood the physics, which we still don't understand. Four times? Five times? Six times? We rewound it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Angel? Can you recite the greatest line in movie history?
They have my spiders. Took my spiders.
No. Where are my spiders? They took my spiders.
Where are my spiders? They took my spiders.
All right. So, Madame Web. It's about Madame Web. Her first name is Madame.
Great description.
it's her origin story. And I guess she sees visions. Oh, but the bad guy is also seeing visions of him getting killed by all these girls who are supposed to be future... what are they called?
Spider people.
Spider people, whatever you want to say.
Merchandising opportunities, I think.
Yeah, future merchandise, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Spider Society, I think, is their
Spider Society.
Eventual
is that,
name.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I think so.
Wait,
no, that's wrong. That's from Spider-Verse, Spider Society. I don't know. Spider Troop. Spider Girl Scouts. I don't know. Something.
Regardless, the main villain of the movie is having visions of him getting killed by three spider women. And at the start of one of the visions, he walks into his apartment. He's got like an aquarium. What would you call it? An aquarium for spiders?
A terrarium?
Terranium.
Is that what it is?
A terranium? I think so.
Sure, let's go with that.
Sounds accurate.
An enclosure of sorts.
An enclosure of spiders.
A space in which spiders can thrive.
Yes. And he goes, where are my spiders? They took my spiders. Like, without a beat. And then he absolutely gets killed right after that. But it was only a dream. This movie... you're right. This movie was a lot of fun. To make fun of. That being said, yeah, this movie was a stinker and a half, man. Mm-hmm. I don't like... going into movies, no, I'm in the ultimate hater. What am I saying? I was ready to hate this movie, and I didn't hate it, but it was still shockingly bad.
It very much felt like a superhero movie from the early 2000s, like when they hadn't yet like it had that tone. It had, and I don't mean like a Batman Begins. I mean like a Elektra or a Daredevil, like the Ben Affleck Daredevil, or like mm-hmm. a Catwoman, or like it kind of had that weird, like serious but not, but overacted but not, but I don't know, but like it's like not high budget, but they tried to pretend it was, like, I don't know, it had a lot of that vibe going on mm-hmm. in my mind. Excluding the main bad guy who has the visions that we were talking about, Ezekiel, it sounds like all his dialogue was redubbed or like ADR'd or something, and then he delivered it incredibly flat. So everything, you know, he'd be talking, but it'd always be like, where are my spiders? I took my spiders. Where is Madame Web? I need to find her. this is how I talk. I'm like a Speed Racer character or something. And it was so, it's so, I feel like took all of us out of it. But at the same time, I jokingly said this online, but at the same time, very accurate for the period. 2003, that's what every video game villain sounded and acted like in every cutscene in a PS2 game. So there you go. He's just that. But no, it was very weird.
He even jumped into danger at one point. But I guess it's clear that he doesn't have Spidey sense. Or either Madame Web's power is just like running over people with cars.
There's a part where he is going to get run over by a flying ambulance that's being driven by Miss Madame Web. And he jumps into it. He didn't have to jump into it at all. He would have been fine. It wouldn't even have clipped his head. All he had to do was just stay put.
Yeah. And contrary to what the movie tries to present as Madame Web's superpower being that she basically can look into the future and kind of change the future.
She can barely do that.
Yeah. Ignoring that the movie's saying that's her superpower, her actual strength is just driving.
Driving.
Like 80% of the movie, she's just driving.
It's just
somewhere.
Her driving or on a plane or on some mode of transportation is 80%
of the
movie.
Driven. Yeah. Yeah.
She, at one point, she's like public enemy number one in the NYPD with the NYPD. But she was just easily able to get onto a plane to Peru. Or where was it? Peru? No, where was it?
Somewhere down there.
Peru sounds
somewhere
correct.
In South America. It might have been. It wasn't. It might have been. Was it Argentina? No.
Just Peru.
Brazil.
Chile. Brazil.
Brazil. Yeah, because she had to go to the Amazon rainforest for something. Oh, to meet with the spider people that were down there. Who had the oddest entrance? Like 5 minutes into the movie.
Or you guys thought there were multiple, but there's only one.
Yeah, Google the opening to Madame Web before Madame is born. There are these spider. You know what? I don't know if they're spider people. If it was just a spider person, no, there were multiple people, right?
There's one person, as far as I
when Madame's
tell,
mom
who
was
edited
was giving
weirdly.
Her, yeah, this
I think there's one person.
This movie is also an editing nightmare.
Oh yeah. They play the same scene like 6 times just to pad it out.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
God.
And here's the thing. Normally when I watch a movie, and I think I've said this to you guys in person, but maybe not on the podcast, but normally when I watch or consume content, I'm usually kind of a sponge. It's really hard for me to not like something. And even in this case, I didn't not like it. But it's hard for me to not just like let it wash over and be like, okay, that was an experience. You know, like I could nitpick about certain things in a movie or nitpick about certain things in a game, but overall I come out of things being like, yeah, okay, that was fine. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Okay, sure, I found something in it redeemable. I would say, Madame Web, while I did enjoy the experience because it was fun to poke at, the list of cons is so much stronger than the list of pros, which for me to say says a lot. Like I don't, like I said, normally just let things kind of wash over me, but even I was like, what's with this editing? What's with this? What's with the dialogue? What's with that? Like I had so many questions about how this came to be. So. Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot that there's one part that I screamed at the movie for. Oh. It's when Uncle Ben, poor Adam Scott, they dragged Adam Scott into this piece of crap movie.
He could have been working on Severance 2. Actually, that's probably why he was in this movie, because Severance 2 got delayed, so he needed something to do.
So he needed something to get by him. Severance 2, Adam Scott?
Are you booing Severance 2, Adam Scott, or Madame Web dragging him in?
Damn.
Oh, yeah. Well, it got delayed for...
That they dragged them into this and that it got delayed.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. Adam Scott, at some point, is telling Madame that he's seeing someone. And Madame goes, oh, what's her name? And he goes... Or, like, he doesn't even say anything. He just like, smiles. And I know the writers wanted everybody in the theater, all fucking 12 people, to like point at the screen and go, he's talking about Aunt May. He's talking about Aunt May. Oh my God. These are the same writers as Morbius.
And
I've seen Morbius
for the baby. It's like,
like what's his name?
Yeah. They did that twice with the baby name too. And they never did say Peter.
They never said Peter. Oh, and those absolutely terrible games that they were playing at the baby shower. Like, everybody, like, Everybody write down something that you remember. That was the second game. But the first game was write down something about your mom, and then I will try to guess whose mom this is based on whatever you wrote. And the first thing was like, what was it? It was like, oh, she always took the crust off my sandwiches when I was in kindergarten. And she like, Rachel, is that you? And and Rachel goes, guilty. Like, what the fuck? And then the second game was, yeah, it was like, all right, everybody guess the name of the baby.
Wait, hold on. You forgot a key thing about the first one. So it's like, oh, you don't like the crust. And then it's like, what's this one say? My mom died in the Amazon.
No. Wasn't that one? No, it didn't say
or
anything.
Or maybe not in the Amazon.
It was just a blank piece of paper.
Yeah, blank.
And then you're like, who's this? And then Madam goes, oh, that's me, I never met my mom because she died in the Amazon.
Oh, I thought it was written down. You're right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then the second game was the name of the baby.
She was pregnant. Why was she over there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
but
yeah,
then
that
they
second game was,
it and she's
was
redeemed.
The one thing that I was like, okay, at least I see where the writers are trying to go with this. That wasn't so like, oh, they referenced Peter without saying Peter. They flipped the with great power comes great responsibility bit and made that like a central theme, and I'm like, I guess that kind of is like
with great
right,
ability
sure.
comes great accountability.
Well, it wasn't quite that, was it? But it was some sort of like
with
responsibility
power.
You will get power or something like that.
With responsibility you will be powerful or something. Just
or something.
Just,
and I was kinda like, you know, like there are rumors that they're gonna see with great power comes great responsibility on a fortune cookie.
Oh, that's right.
And that was gonna be like a major plot point. And like the fact they didn't do that and at least worked it into like her arc, like, okay. Of all the things the movie did wrong, at least that was like a valiant effort in the right direction, even if it didn't quite, you know, stick the landing with that either.
There was something that the movie did where I think we all acknowledged it, like okay, that was all right, but that
honestly, some of the never mind the dude going backwards. The concept of the diner fight scene, how they were like doing stuff with the camera flips, and they did this in the subway fight scene too. I think we were kind of like, oh, like what's up and what's down because they're all spiders. It's kind of like that wasn't bad in concept. I don't know about execution, but in concept, it was like, all right, sure.
No, but there was something that they executed in the movie that I think all of us went like, okay, that wasn't too bad, but I totally forgot what it was. Like that's how forgettable this movie is too.
Yeah. I don't remember either, to be honest.
Yeah, so, Madam Web, you know what? Have a couple of beers with the boys.
And you'll have a good time.
Yeah, you'll have a good time. Yeah. Just poke fun at the movie. And next up we have, the Rhino movie. No, what, Cream of the Hunter.
I don't know if Craven might be the last one. It sounds like they're stepping back plans. Yeah, it sounds like they're stepping back plans after how badly Madam Web bombed. But Craven has an interesting extra layer of the guy who's playing Craven, who is also the guy that played Kick-Ass and Kick-Ass, is most likely going to be the next James Bond. So I don't know what that's going to mean for Craven, but it could drum up some interest that wouldn't otherwise be there among people who wouldn't have seen it otherwise, just to see what this new Bond guy is going to be like.
Aaron Taylor Johnson? Yeah.
Yep.
Also, you know, Quicksilver in the MCU.
Yeah, that's true.
And
Godzilla.
People really... And Godzilla 2014, yep, that's right.
Oh, yeah, I forgot
about that. People really love that Bullet Train movie. I thought it was mid as hell. And
I still need to see it.
I think that movie is one of the most average movies I've ever seen in my entire life.
He was the bad guy in it, right?
It's a spoiler to say, like, he's just part of the ensemble cast. I wouldn't say he's a bad guy.
Okay.
But I mean, people love that movie.
Without spoiling it, does he use an Android or an iPhone device in the movie? Do you know that rule?
Yeah, I do know that rule.
Angel, do you know that rule?
What rule?
Bad guys in movie. So when Apple does product placement of their phones, because obviously anytime there's an iPhone or something in a movie, Apple has to give the thumbs up because it's brand image and whatever, they don't let bad guys use iPhones. So if you ever see a movie and someone's using an iPhone, they're not the bad guy.
All right. Didn't know that.
Funny little rule. I mean, obviously you can use an iPhone in a movie and not, but then you usually have to cover up the logo or something. But if you ever see the logo prominently, that means they're not the bad guy.
Yeah.
Typically.
Yeah, I don't remember if he used an iPhone in that movie or not, but people really love that movie and they love him in it. They love his character, so I'm sure that Kraven movie will probably do better than Morbius and Madame Web combined. But
low bar.
I don't know. That's Sony. Oh no, they have a Venom 3.
Oh right, that's already done film, or that's filming right now. I think I've never seen the Venoms. To be fair, I've never seen Morbius actually.
The first one is crap. The second one's mega crap, and Morbius is just boring.
Oh, I mean, that's the worst thing it could be. At least Madame Web was like entertaining in its weirdness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's absolutely nothing entertaining about Morbius.
And yet, Jared Leto's now the lead in the Tron movie. You went from Morbius to that.
I never saw Legacy.
Legacy is basically a 2-hour music video of Daft Punk orchestral music. But
I've heard the soundtrack. The soundtrack's great.
Yeah, I love Tron. It's like Tron is not. The first Tron isn't great. It's very 80s. It's very kind of camp. The second Tron wasn't spectacular, but visually it was super cool. The audio, like the music was super cool. Some of the ideas were kind of interesting. But, I mean, they don't have the – and the director of it went on to do Top Gun Maverick. It's Joseph – something with a K that's not Krasinski. He went on to do Maverick. It's like they had, you know, a good director. They had Daft Punk. They even had Cillian Murphy, who obviously is bigger now than ever because of Oppenheimer. He was like set up to maybe be in the third and as like a side character in second. And they dropped all that and have a different director and Jared Leto now. So I'm not sure who at Disney made that decision. Obviously, they couldn't get Daft Punk because Daft Punk unfortunately broke up. But like, I feel like they had all the pieces to make a really good Tron 3. And there's like, never mind, just like are making like this husk of a Tron, but we'll see. I don't want to judge prematurely. I'm just a little worried about it.
Yeah, so that was Madame Web. And then, not to end the episode on a sad note, but today Nintendo killed the Nintendo Network.
Yeah.
Jason, you want to take it?
Oh, man.
Sure, take the Nintendo Network, if you don't recognize that name, because Nintendo kind of buried it a while ago, but it was the online functionality for the 3DS and Wii U. So as of 4 p.m. today, nothing online works. They already shut down the shops, but like nothing online works if you wanted to like get Street Pass puzzles through the internet, if you wanted to Spot Pass anything, if you wanted to have a DLC, or well, I guess DLC is already dead, but if you want to do any online matches in Mario Kart, Splatoon 1, if you want to download Mario Maker levels, all that, Wii U and 3DS just turned off. There is a group trying to make private servers that are replicating it called Pretendo, which is a spectacular name. It's in like a private beta right now. But for all intents and purposes, like it's the end of the 3DS and Wii U era, even more so than the other times the era has already ended. But just kind of sad, you know, like PS3 we were talking about earlier when you were talking about Tales Angel. I'm pretty sure PS3 still has its online servers working, and that's older than these two consoles. And yet Nintendo, you know, sunset. Basically a huge chunk of Wii U and 3DS for functionality. And I have to imagine they're doing that in part because they're staying up for the next-gen infrastructure for online, whatever that, you know, expanding on whatever Switch 1 did. There's a lot of stuff that seems to be happening behind the scenes. They're, like, consolidating. So I don't know if you guys know this, and I don't know why you would know this. Nintendo had all their websites for all their regions be different. So, like, Nintendo Japan was Nintendo.co.jp. Nintendo America was Nintendo.com. Nintendo Europe was either Nintendo-Europe or Nintendo.co.uk or .Nintendo.co.jp. You know, every country had its own. Every single one was like a separate marketplace for online game buying and stuff. Everything was very isolated. They're merging them all under Nintendo.com now. It seems like maybe that means they're moving towards a unified storefront for the eShop, like worldwide. They're obviously trying to sync up all their releases these days. You know, they made the point of simultaneous releases for the last few years. So it seems like part of the reason we're really shutting down Nintendo Network is to take those resources and put them towards this consolidation they're doing for the Switch 2 and it's online. But nonetheless, kind of sucks to see it go. There were some memories there. Like, I'm personally going to really miss Spot Pass. And if you guys you don't exactly remember what Spot Pass is, that's the the sort of like passive push notification system they set up for the 3DS and I guess Wii U too, where it would turn a little blue light on and you get like a Mii from Nintendo or you get like some new puzzle for Street Fighter. It's just like this way that they could promote stuff and they just kind of gently nudge things towards you. They still have it with the news channel, kind of. Like you go into a news thing on the news channel on the Switch. And, like, you could press a button and it'll be like, you got an item in a game. And it's like, oh, okay. Or you could, like, click a thing to do a thing, then you open the game. But Spot Pass felt very much more cohesive. And it is kind of the last bastion of the, like, personality-driven Nintendo era where, like, they'd send a Mii of Bill Trennan or Miyamoto or Iwata or Reggie or someone to your system to be like, hey, we're talking about Mario Kart tomorrow at E3. Like, come check it out. And it'd be a little Mii delivering you the news or, like, they had like all the producers of the games to have their Mii show up for different E3s or they do different, you know, gold pants Mii's that would give you special things that tie into a new release. Like it just had a lot more personality than just like a news article on your Switch does. And it's kind of sad that, well, obviously they haven't been using it for the last few years. This really was kind of the closing of the door on that idea. Everything else, I mean, I'm sure there's a game or two you could pick on the Wii U or 3DS that you wish would still have online functionality. But like for the most part, I feel like it mostly transferred over. Like if you want to play Mario Kart, you got 8 Deluxe. If you want to play custom Mario Maker levels, Mario Maker 2 exists and has the whole like world features. You can link levels together, make a whole game. Like if you want to play Splatoon, you got 2 more Splatoons on Switch. Like most of it transferred over, excluding stuff like maybe Kid Icarus Uprising. But the Spot Pass, the personality, that little pizzazz, like that's just gone. And that's kind of a bummer to me. I don't know if you guys have any particularly fond 3DS or Wii U online memories, but for me, like that Spot Pass integration and feeling like Nintendo's like directly to you telling you something through these personalities, like it's kind of a bummer that that's really now in the rear view, not just conceptually, but like physically, they can't even do it anymore if they want to with the current setup they have. So that's, I mean, that's what I'll miss.
To mention Smash Brothers, I mean, both on 3DS and the Wii U.
True, yeah. It's
pretty crazy. And, you know, definitely played a ton of Mario Kart. Definitely, I mean, up until that point, I definitely played it a ton. Definitely more so than DS at some point. It must have definitely surpassed it. Oh, and actually, definitely Animal Crossing. Mainly because I think I definitely played Animal Crossing a lot more with other friends that I knew in real life versus, I guess the new one, New Leaf. I think I maybe connected with someone once or twice. It's definitely very rare.
Wait, like, I think you said that backwards. New Leaf was the 3DS one and New Horizons the Switch one.
So you mean well, whichever on one
New
the
Leaf
one
you
is.
Played more, Horizon you played less online? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay,
I
yeah.
I
want
to say maybe overall as well. I want to say I was definitely way more into, I think I hit Animal Crossing peak on the 3DS. Like the DS definitely introduced me to it through Wild World, but the 3DS one was the one where I felt like it went all in. And then the Switch literally just felt like, well, I guess this kind of continued where I left on the 3DS, except I have to start over. But I don't think I ever got as far as I did as far as like whole island renovations on the Switch than I did on the 3DS. And, you know, of course, you know, Rhythm Heaven, Mega Mix, they didn't really have much of an online functionality.
Did they have any?
Like that, it was just like Shadow Drop, so, you know.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I mean, it was literally a digital only game, so.
Yeah. But even being able to buy that, see, that's what kind of sucks with how Nintendo's steamrolling through closing all this stuff, is even the ability to buy Mega Mix. Like, they turned off the shop like a year ago. So for the past year, no one with a 3DS could buy Mega Mix if they didn't already have it.
Yep. Which is
just like, what are they
doing? Which is why I have a Japanese copy. But even then, yeah. I think I have to get a Japanese 3DS, because I'm pretty sure 3DS is region locked.
Yes, which was the first in a long time to not be. So yeah, it was.
Wait, it was? It is?
Switch isn't region locked. Yeah. So,
oh, that's no, what I'm saying. I'm
3DS
sorry,
was. Thought, yeah, sorry. I said that kind of weird. Yeah. It's Switch is the first console in quite a while. Nintendo did not region lock, which would mean 3DS was. Yeah. Yeah. But, well, the nice thing is, Angel, with a lot of the games you're talking about, in spirit, even if you didn't touch them as much, they did carry on. Like I was saying with like Mario Kart and Mario Maker and stuff, like the Animal Crossing online experience is kind of the same, if not more. Smash obviously is bigger with Ultimate now. So like, fortunately for the majority, not your specific memories, but fortunately for the majority of those like Nintendo online experiences, you can still do that with the Switch, at least for those who seek it out. So that's some silver lining to them closing the old ones. It's, at least they like replaced all that, you know, with kind of enhanced versions of the same thing. Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
It's the stuff that they didn't rip, like all the little weird, quirky, like if Nintendo made an indie game type of experiences I had online, like those, I feel like the Switch is, they never really made a spot for that on the Switch. Like Nintendo only does like big games now. So it's, or like, you know, if the smallest game they do is like Another Code Recollection or Final Fantasy Detective Color. Like they're still bigger than if they made like a $7 like Sakura Samurai or whatever it was called, or Dylan Drawing Western or whatever. So it kind of sucks that any of those games that had those online experiences, we haven't gotten a way to sort of carry on the legacy. Steel Diver. Like, we haven't gotten a way to, like, carry on that legacy with the Switch. And who knows if we'll ever get there.
That's cool.
Yeah. Or, like, the Pushmo and Crashmo and games. Like, those, I don't think there's anything for Switch with those. And they had leaderboards and stuff, but not anymore. Like, it's weird. It's just weird that they, like, God, just cut them off. I don't know. And maybe the Switch 2, maybe they'll be able to refocus on that a little. Maybe they'll pump out some weird tiny stuff like that at the tail end of the Switch life just to milk it till Switch 2 is ready. I don't know, but we kind of lost that. That and the, like, personality of, like, Spot Pass versus just a new, like, the personality in menus and music in the shop and, like, all that. We kind of lost all that. And this was, like, the final nail in the coffin for not getting it back. Unless Nintendo surprises us down the line.
Damn.
Yeah, it's weird to think about. Like, definitely a different era of Nintendo. Did you, Kevin, have any fond Wii U or 3DS online gaming moments?
I did not.
Oh, well, okay. So not a big nail in the coffin for you then.
Nope.
So you're cool with this shutdown now, but...
not that I'm cool with it. I mean, I always say when these things get shut down, I understand why they have to happen, but... Still, it's
for sure.
Always a bummer, and that's why emulation is great.
Apple just allowed emulators. Apple just allowed emulators in the App Store as long as they play "quote unquote" legal games.
Yep, and that's such a gray area in terms of legality, but we'll see where that goes. I had my phone with my 3DS, but it was mainly like just Fire Emblem and nothing else. So.
Sure, yeah.
Just RPGs. Nothing with online functionality.
The more I think about it, the thing I'm going to miss most is when Nintendo... And again, they could do this with the Switch, but they choose to do it with just like a screenshot in a news bulletin. When they had a game coming out, or they do it with Tetris 99 special skins, I should give credit to the Maximus Cups, because like I just played the Princess Peach one this weekend, and that's... I have every single custom game special skin they've ever done with the Maximus Cup. We're up to like 30 of them, but anyway, they used to always do the Street Pass puzzles, and they just push out like the new puzzle, and then through the other functions of the system with Street Pass, you'd be able to build the puzzle, and yeah, it'd be to tie into a game, but it was like a cool way to like constantly update in like a very Nintendo-y way, and we don't really have that outside of, I guess, Maximus Cups, which aren't quite the same. So hopefully whatever they do with the next system, I know a few episodes ago I was speculating like they should do a Mario Kart 9 where like they add a new track or character or cup or something for every major new release and just make it like a system level feature, like kind of like a live service for the length of the system's life. Like hopefully Switch 2, even if it's not that, if they could just somehow bring back Street Pass or do something like Spot Pass or do something with a little personality, at least that will fill the gap that they've now created for themselves. Because that to me was one of the core things about, like, especially because DS to 3DS and Wii to Wii U is really much like what Switch to Switch 2 is going to be, seemingly, is really kind of just like, here's what you had before, but with one extra thing, and then they augmented that extra thing with a bunch of personality and pizzazz. So here's hoping they just, you know, the extra thing on the 3DS being 3D and Wii U being the gamepad tablet, hopefully they realize they need to do that again here and we get some of that back. So it's not really like we're saying goodbye with the online stuff shutting down, but maybe just to see you next year to some of those features.
Hopefully. It made it really fun to take the 30th to conventions and, you know, like getting a new puzzle through Spot Pass and then seeing what puzzle pieces you can get through.
Yeah.
Street Pass. It was just all great.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a really cool time to be as heavily invested in Nintendo as we were, because everything felt a lot more like small company connected, like, you know. You go to an event and maybe Reggie's there and you get his me, and then you go home and there's a separate Reggie me that's delivering new news about why you should go back to the thing you're just at the next day for this other thing. Like, it felt very like interconnected. Like, we were very close with Nintendo, opposed to now where, like, I don't think I'm going to get a Doug Bowser me on a Switch 2. Like, this is not going to happen, you know? Like, it's not where Nintendo's head is at.
The me collecting aspect. Forgot about that.
Yeah. So there's a lot that you don't really think about that Nintendo really sort of. Or even like the Badger Arcade, like customize your system, not just with themes, but like slap random stickers, all like digital stickers all over your themes and stuff. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff they did that is could come back, but for now is deader than dead as of today. So we'll see. That's all I really wanted to touch on with Nintendo Network. RIP Nintendo Network.
RIP Nintendo Network.
The second of three rebrand. Well, actually, I don't even think they branded theirs. Oh, yeah, I guess Switch Online. But yeah, they can't keep a single PSN, solid single name throughout all the generations. Xbox Live, solid single name. Nintendo went from Wi-Fi connection to network to Switch Online to who knows what the next one will be. But they can't seem to keep a single name. So we'll see what comes next.
We'll see what comes next. And we will have a brand new episode of the Random Nintendo Podcast sometime in the future. We haven't decided a date on it yet.
Probably 2 weeks in an ideal world.
Maybe. Most likely.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Probably.
Yep.
Possibly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Jason, I forgot your name for a second there.
Wow.
Go ahead.
We've only known each other for how long?
And take us out, buddy.
Okay, so let me drop my voice back down to normal octave here. You can find us on all the wonderful apps for podcasting. That includes Apple Podcasts. That includes Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music. It does not include Google Podcasts. They officially shut it down, I think, April 1st. RIP Google Podcasts. But you know what they replaced it with? YouTube Music's podcast section and YouTube's podcast section. And we are there at Ram Nintendo on YouTube. We're also on Twitter at Ram Nintendo and individually. If you want to hear our thoughts on things, I'm JSR7 at Twitter and Threads. Kevin is KV and Gomi at Twitter. And Angel is World of Weros on Instagram. Back to you, Kevin, whose name I remembered.
And that will do it for this episode. And for your final word, Angel Salado.
Don't watch Godzilla.
Say, don't watch Godzilla?
You say don't?